going on, guys? Dustin with the LFG 1904 show. Reconstruction Rescue is your best choice for flood restoration services in San Diego County. With years of experience in the industry, their dedicated team of project managers will work hand in hand with you from start to finish, specializing in home insurance water damage claims. They take on the headache of dealing with your insurance company so you don't have to. Call this number today for a free estimate. 760-891-9919. Once again, that number is 760-891-9919. Reconstruction Rescue. Y'all know the deal.
We sure are.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Getting ready.
So yeah, let's go. Let's go ahead and kick this motherfucker off. Yeah! You know the deal.
Such a good, like, starter.
Fucking A.
It really gets you going.
Really does.
Fucking hell, mate.
We're fucking here for it. Jesus. Fucking here for it.
You know what? I was about to say, you guys have a treat, but you know, I think I'm going to get beat up today.
Possibly.
Yeah. Elise is a co-host today, so wish me luck, boys. And we have our friend Marie on. And Marie, let's just go ahead and start it off. Where are you from?
El Cajon, California.
That's where you were born and raised.
No,
huh?
I wasn't born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Raised.
But you were raised in El Cajon?
Yes, I was.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're way tough then. Yes. Every single broad or chick or girl, whatever, that was raised in El Cajon is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not tough. I'm from Rancho Bernardo.
You know what?
RB in the house.
Yeah. I'm not tough.
She's already going to get muted. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I know tons and tons of people from El Cajon, and they're all just tough. It's like in the water. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's rough. Where did you grow up in El Cajon?
You know, what's interesting is that I grew up like a block away from where I live now, from where I bought a house.
Wow.
So like right in the center of El Cajon.
Yeah, you're in the heartbeat of it.
Yeah.
In the hub. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
What was that like growing up there?
It was a lot different back then than it is now. So I grew up in El Cajon apartments. You know, it was ghetto and, you know, that's just how it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Just were you out and about a lot? Were you living on the streets or no?
Well, when I was a little kid, I wasn't, you know.
I
lived with my parents and my mom and my stepdad. And, you know, they were alcoholics, addicts. And I was an only child. And that's just how it was. They always had people over and, you know, just living that kind of life.
Right. When I mean like the streets where you just, you know, out, like even I grew up in Claremont, I was always out of the house, you know, until like the street lights and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, it was a different time, but man, I just remember El Cajon when I was like just moving to Ramona. I was like, damn, this motherfucking place is a ghetto. I mean, it depending on where you're at. Like then my parents got divorced. And they lived off of, my dad lived off Chase, which was kind of cool. I mean, it was like a different part of, you know, El Cajon.
That's the nicer side.
It definitely is a nicer side. I mean, there's a few areas, though. It's kind of like.
Well, now it's like sketchy.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was like going to say, doesn't that area kind of sketch now?
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. It's like it depends on what side of the street you're on.
Yeah.
You know, because like one side of Chase is sketchy. One side is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of Middle Eastern people there. One of my best friends, his name was Safe when I was. Literally, that's what his name, Safe.
Safe.
But man, I'll never forget the smell of curry or whatever the fuck they eat and cook all the time. I was like, God, dog, man. Like, it's like,
It's
so distinctive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, you just said your mom and stepdad were alcoholics?
Yeah, my stepdad was an alcoholic. My mom was an addict. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What was your mom doing?
She was like a pill addict.
Okay.
Yeah. They always like, and smoked weed. So it was like always weed and selling weed and always traffic and people coming in and out. And yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Mm.
That is a different lifestyle for sure. That, you know, most people that listen to the podcast are like, yeah, well, we've heard that plenty of times on the show, you know?
Yeah.
What was it like, though, for you?
Well, I mean, for me, it was like normal. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like it's like growing up that way. That's the norm, you know? And, I was an only child, and so growing up that way, it kind of made me awkward.
Mm.
You know, I was always around adult addicts, and so I was an awkward kid.
Mm.
So when I was in school, I didn't have many friends because I didn't really fit in. I wasn't like regular kids, like playing regular games and talking about regular kid shit, because I didn't know how to talk about regular kid shit because I was always around adult addicts, and adult addicts are fucking weirdos.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we talk about some weird ass shit. Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
How old were you when that was going on? Or like, is that your whole life?
Oh, that's my whole life.
Your whole life, right?
My whole life. Yeah.
So, yeah, other kids that are like, yeah, we're going to play Barbies and shit. You're like, yeah, what the fuck?
What? the fuck is that?
I guess I'm going to go over here and roll this blunt. Yeah. I don't know.
I know. Like, you can. Do you want to play Barbies? No, but I can roll a fat ass blunt.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like at the early age of four, motherfuckers.
Oh, shit.
Well, yeah, so the Mexicans kicked on our door last night.
Oh, God.
Because my mom burned him for some coke.
Yeah.
That's what happened at my house.
God.
Hey, we're all laughing, but like pure trauma. You know what I mean?
Seriously. Yeah. Like the fucking SWAT team was there last night. You know, so that's like the kind of shit that I had to talk about at school. Like that happened at my house.
Right.
You know, and like how you go to school and like socialize with other kids when like that's what you're bringing to the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I can imagine.
That's way different.
It is real different.
That's way different than
I would have probably been like, oh, I don't know if I should be hanging out with her then. You know what I mean? My fucking pussy ass.
I mean, most guys would probably think the same way too. Shit. Yeah. Bunch of fucking lame ass pussies. So
they'd be like, she's way too gangster for me.
Yeah. So your mom was a pill addict, huh?
Yeah.
Did you ever experiment at a young age?
No, I really tried to stay away from drugs for a long time, you know, until like, you know, she died when I was 14.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we had like a, you know, my stepdad, he was a drunk, you know, and so, he became inappropriate with me when I became a teenager. Mm. And so, you know, it came to the point where my mom was like, well, you know, one of you two can't be in the house anymore, you know, so you're going to go live with your dad in San Francisco. And so I went to go live with my dad in San Francisco. And, you know, I came back down to visit and she OD'd. Mm-hmm. She OD'd and died. And, you know, so I was like, I'm never going to do drugs. I don't want to die like that. You know, like, I don't ever want to be her,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I was already drinking, smoking weed, you know, at that age. I was, you know, I was 15 at this point, and I was already drinking and smoking weed, and I really liked it.
Mm.
That was like my, I felt, that was my escape.
Right.
And that's how I could fit in, you know, because I had always felt socially awkward and very different from everybody else, you know, and that's how I felt like I could fit in, and how I could talk to people and communicate with people, because I always have challenges communicating with people and talking to people. So
still,
yeah, I still do.
I think we all do a little bit. Yeah,
I think that's definitely a trait. You know, some people actually don't have that, but you know, some people that are addicts definitely have that.
Yeah, my husband doesn't. He can literally talk to anybody for hours.
He can. He totally
literally.
Can.
Literally. People come up and talk to me. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do the robot. You
know, yeah.
Right.
I'm like, we go to parties. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to sit in this corner right here and please nobody talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I was really, you know, had a great memory, because I would be like, yeah, she's talking about episode 55 or whatever. But Hunter was on the show. I think we called it Hunter something. So if you guys know the show, then you know who it is. And that was a fucking banger. But,
oh, yeah. Yeah. When he was on it. Yeah. It was really good.
Batteries for a Shot, I think it was.
Oh,
was
shit.
It?
Yeah.
Batteries. Probably.
Stealing Batteries for a Shot.
I think I have to
get him back on, to be honest, because there was way too much going on.
There was so much going on, actually. I remember that. And there were so many stories. And I was just like, this pool was way out. Like, holy fuck.
Yeah, he's wild.
He fucking did the most. Yeah.
He's wild as hell.
It's funny. Yeah.
Like, so he starts in first thing in the morning. And I'm like, can I please? I need a moment to wake up. Please.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I get kicked out of the bed often. This morning, what are you doing up?
First of all, I don't know.
I'm awake.
This fool fucking wakes me up just to show me something on his phone. I'm like, sir, I have to wake up in an hour to go to the gym. Like, why are you, what are you doing right now? Like, you know, when you wake me up, I'm going to be awake.
So let's go real quick. So you end up going to San Francisco, mm-hmm. or you so you didn't. But your mom basically gave you an ultimatum, or you both an ultimatum.
Well, so it was like my mom was an addict.
Yeah.
And she relied on my stepfather completely for support. Like he was mm-hmm. the only one that worked. And so obviously he's not going to be the one to leave. One of us had to leave. There was some abuse that happened. Mm. And so like I'm the obvious choice. I have to go, you know, I can't be living in the same roof as him, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I went to San Francisco, you know, and then when I was in San Francisco, like as a result of like this thing that just happened between me and my stepdad and my mom being like, well, you know, you have to go, you know, I'm not emotionally mature enough to handle some shit like that. Like mm-hmm. my mom kicks me out because I'm abused. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
I'm not gonna
do well with that.
No,
so I'm
nobody,
gonna
no.
I'm mm-hmm. gonna act out. I'm gonna start using excessive. I'm gonna start drinking excessively, smoking weed excessively, and getting kicked out of every possible school that I can, you know, get into. You know, and
yeah,
my yeah. dad was not equipped to take care of me. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And so. I end up going back down to San Diego to be with my mom and, you know, visit her. And she ends up dying.
The time you were there?
After going to my dad's and just, like, blowing shit up. And then I went back to my mom's and then she ends up dying. You know, she overdoses.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where was the stepdad? Is he there still? Did he ever...
Yeah.
Did he ever try to do anything to you again?
No, he quit drinking after that. Like he got sober. Like
how
that
wild.
Yeah, that was like his bottom.
Mm.
Because the reality
his bottom was you?
His bottom what? was
her dying, her mom.
Oh,
dying.
Okay.
His bottom was like the offense that he caused to me.
Wow.
Because
damn, I can't even imagine coming to with that.
Yeah.
Because he raised me for 10 years. You know, I was his daughter,
right.
You know, and being in a blackout and then realizing the harm that he had caused to me, he was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Damn.
And that was like his bottom. And he got sober after that.
That's did he try so to wild. Make an amends and all that to you or?
He did.
Yeah.
He did years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did you have a relationship with him after your mom passed or?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, obviously. I mean, I wouldn't really expect it, but I don't know. You know, you never know.
Damn.
My emotional maturity was, like, non-existent. Like, I just was extremely emotionally immature, you know? And, like, I didn't know how to cope with my mom dying. Like, I didn't know how to cope with that. I didn't know how to deal with, like, finding her dead like that.
Mm.
And I had a tremendous amount of guilt over that because... I was supposed to register for school that day and I didn't want to. And like, I was embarrassed of her.
Mm.
I was embarrassed of her because she took pills and she slurred.
Mm.
And so it was embarrassing to me. And so I didn't want her to take me to school.
Yeah.
And so I didn't wake her up, you know? And so I held on to that guilt for like a very long time. Like if I would have just not been so embarrassed of her, if I would have just gone and woke her up, like she wouldn't be dead, you know? And so I held on to that for a really, really long time. And it really stunted my growth emotionally, you know? So
I can imagine.
Yeah, it probably lit a fire in your addictive personality too.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Once
for
you
sure.
start thinking about it and you start having all these, man, thoughts of like you did that. I mean, which you know now, I mean, that's probably not the case. I mean, maybe if you would have woken her up, but I mean.
I was just a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just a kid. I was just a 15-year-old kid, you know?
Mm.
I was just a 15-year-old kid, and my mom's addiction was not my responsibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my addiction really started at 14, too, so, I mean, I can totally relate. We're so adolescent. We're so immature, you know? The things that at least I did, you know? But, fuck, I can't even imagine that, walking in on your parents. Or your mom at that age, that's fucking super traumatic.
I mean, we're just little babies, you know?
Totally.
And then we throw the drugs into the mix, it makes it worse because our growth just stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stops. We stop growing. Our brains stop developing.
Right.
So.
That's funny. That's what somebody said that to me too about my spirit. And I mean, that's a perfect example though too. It's like it literally stunts our growth the moment that it happens.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I can't even, I mean, I think about my emotional maturity and I'm like, that didn't even happen for me until I was probably with Dustin, honestly. You know what I mean? That shit took a long time for me to like become a mature adult, you know? The drugs really fuck it up when you're that young.
So when you moved back to, or did you ever move back? I mean, obviously you moved back from San Francisco.
I did. I did. And then I kind of got shifted around a lot. You know, I have family members that live in Chicago. My mom's sister lives in Chicago. And so after my mom died, I ended up moving to Chicago with my aunt and uncle.
Because your dad was like, I can't handle this one.
Yeah, he just wasn't equipped.
Right.
You know, my dad's great. My dad's amazing. He's a hippie. He's very smart. He's an intellectual. He taught me a lot of things. Mm-hmm. He's taught me a lot of things. He is a business major. He was in the Navy. He majored in business and he minored in, you know, black studies. You know, he's always taught me how to root for the underdog. You know, he's
right. A
civil rights type person.
Yeah.
He's an amazing person. He didn't have anybody to raise him, so he wasn't equipped to be a parent. Right. So he didn't know how to raise me.
Yeah.
So, you know, sending me to my aunt and uncle was like one of the hardest decisions that he had to make, but he had to make it. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would say I'm equipped to be a parent, but if my kid was fucking around with drugs, I'd probably send him off too. I'd probably be like, hey, bye. No. Fucking handle your ass.
You can't do that.
It's like, you know.
Fuck it. Calm down.
You're like, your dad wasn't equipped to be a parent. I'm like, well, I don't know if any of us are equipped to fucking handle an addict child, you know? Fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we are now. We are. You know, I mean,
maybe.
I mean, we'll see. I guess. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, we got two, so I mean,
we'll cross that
one of them's probably going to be a fucking addict. You know what I mean? I hate to say it. But.
Yeah, it's sad, but.
I'm sure it's going to be this one, dude, right here.
Yeah, she's nuts.
Yeah, so Chicago. So you moved to Chicago,
yeah.
And what was that like?
Man, it was cool. Mm. It was cool. It was tough. You know, my aunt and uncle, they're military. They're both Marines, and they're very, very strict. And they're like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. They are very, very strict. I went to a private Catholic school, and they were very rigid, and it was very opposite of anything I was ever used to in my life. And I had a very hard time adjusting.
And by then, were you already using, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how would you sneak that?
I did not use out there.
Mm.
But what ended up happening was, you know, I tried to run away. And they ended up putting me in a mental institution. Because I ran away. And so when I was in that mental institution, they were like, you know, she really is not, she really doesn't have mental problems. She has addiction issues. She needs to go to a drug rehab. So I went to a drug, that was my first time going to a drug rehab. And, you know, I was 16 years old. And that was the first time I was introduced to the fellowship.
Right.
Recovery.
Wow. Let me fix something real quick. I set you up.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Now you're good.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, wow. Light and day. So what was that like? So, you know, I mean, how was Chicago? I mean, what year was that? You remember?
You're going to age me right now.
Well, okay. Was it?
Dustin's old, too. What do you mean?
What are you talking about? We're old. So I would say early '90s.
Early '90s.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was that like? Because I mean, you're coming from El Cajon.
Oh God, it was cold.
Cold culture shock. God,
it was cold. It was cold, and it was cold. It was fucking hard.
I know. No. Southern Californians are so such hard. Fucking sissies.
Yeah. I want to cry thinking about how cold it was. Oh, I want to cry. No, you go outside and your snot freezes right here.
No.
It is so cold. And the wind blows and like it takes your breath away. You can't breathe. And anybody.
That's so wild.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
But I know. And you don't see the sun.
You don't.
It's gone. It's just disappeared.
I can't imagine just, getting clean where there's gray. No sun. I would just be depressed.
Yeah, it's just
I'd
gray.
Go from being an addict to being depressed. And then I'd really need to get put on meds. Fuck.
It was hard. It was hard. The weather was hard.
Yeah.
What was the rehab like?
It was cool. It was cool because it was for teens. And so, like, I met all these kids that were, like, addicts, you know, and it was cool.
You found your herd.
I found some people to relate to, you know.
Did your aunt and uncle have kids, too?
Yes. Yeah. So I had two younger cousins.
Okay.
Yeah. They were cool.
They were all right?
Yeah, they were cool.
I was going to say, you turn them out like, hey, guys, no, let me show
no.
you.
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Let me show you guys.
Hell no. Man, no, hell no.
Do you still have a relationship with them today?
No, okay. I don't. No. No, I don't, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Shit happens. Sure does.
It took a long time for my sister and I to get back to having a relationship.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah. Yeah, his sister wasn't in his life when we first started dating. Very weird, because now it's like all the time. But yeah, it's just how it goes, you know. But yeah. I can see that's probably, you know, your dad sent you there just because they were very like militant, and he probably thought maybe they'd get you in check, you know. Who knows? I'm sure that was the idea behind it.
I think so.
I mean, I'm sure he had good intentions, you know. Yeah.
Well, really, I mean, she already said he was able to do that, though. He wasn't equipped, too, you know? Yeah. I mean, he was just...
That's the hardest thing, though, you know? I'm sure it was really hard for him anyway, but he thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So I stayed out there for, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. It was a long 2 years.
Right.
Long.
Right.
Long, cold 2 years. And then I moved back to San Francisco, and... shit took a turn for the worse, man.
Really?
Shit got wild as hell.
Let's get into it.
So when I moved back to San Francisco, that's when I started like street life. Mm-hmm. Like I really started like hanging out on the streets, and like hanging out on the streets in San Diego is very different than hanging out on the streets of San Francisco.
Mm, I can imagine.
Those streets are hard, mm-hmm. you know, those streets are like gangster and
Tenderloin.
The Tenderloin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I hung out on the streets of the Tenderloin.
Yeah. You're a badass.
And
I ain't shit.
Mm-hmm. And like
fucking badass.
And like looking the way that I do, like I had no business being out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Like it was rough.
Yeah.
You know, I remember like being on a street corner, like hanging out with a gang, and this kid just walking up with a shotgun and just holding it up to this whole crew that we were just standing there. And I'm just like thinking like, okay.
Right.
You know, and I was a kid, you know, and I think about my kids, like my kid is the same age as I was, like. My kid could not handle that shit.
Right. You know what I mean? Right.
And the things that I did and the things that I saw at that age, it really kind of puts into perspective like the level that my addiction went so quickly. You know, because I was out on the streets all night.
Mm-hmm.
All night. I was doing all kinds of drugs.
What was your drug of choice back then?
Well, back then it was like drinking and smoking weed. But in San Francisco, like you could get all kinds of shit on the street, mm-hmm. you know, so you get like acid and, you know, that's when you could still experiment with drugs without dying,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, like you could still get acid or like PCP and, you know, things like that.
Sure.
So like I did it all. Yeah, the good old days.
Street corners and shotguns. Yeah, what can I say?
Well, you know, my kids don't, you know, kids these days, they don't got it like that. They don't have the luxury of being able to just experiment with drugs and come out alive, you know?
Yeah.
Kids these days, they experiment and they die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's a brutal. I mean, honestly, I don't even understand how people still do fentanyl or even want to do heroin. I mean, honestly, crazy to me.
My thing is the kids that are doing coke and fucking die from it being laced with fentanyl. That shit fucking freaks me out because.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, kids can't even experiment with like anything.
I don't even think they could probably experiment with like ecstasy at this point. Definitely I don't know not. If that's a thing still, but you know, I'm not too sure. Okay. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they make anymore. I feel like it's just fentanyl. Yeah.
Who's
know?
Old here?
I don't know what.
Yeah, we don't even know if they could do bath salts.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't.
Yeah. Start eating people's noses and
spice.
Shit.
Fuck
some spice and fucking bath salts.
Well, I think that's like my worst fear having kids, you know? Because I mean, when you're in high school, it's like, yeah, you don't necessarily go straight to meth or heroin and experiment with that, but coke, sure.
Yeah.
You know? Sure.
And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think that they'll just keep making stronger things to where people will just die.
Mm-hmm.
And like the roaches, you know, like how I was, you know what I mean? I was just a fucking roach. I can literally OD and like be okay, you know? And there's some people out there. Like, what I mean by that is just, like, they can use and use and use and nothing happens. You know, they just can continuously use and they'll sleep on the streets and be okay, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's some that literally do it one time and that was it.
Yeah.
It's gone. We know, like, kids that were 14 that I don't know them personally. I knew them. I heard of the mom, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, 14 years old tries weed for the first time and dies from a laced fentanyl joint.
It's my first fucking fear.
Yeah. Like that's insane.
Yeah, it is like the reality of the world that we live in.
Yeah.
So like I made the decision as a mom to like educate my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like I educated them because kids are gonna do whatever the fuck they want to do, you know. And it's like I knew as a mom, like if I tell my kids don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, they're going to be like, that sounds fun. I'm going to fucking try it. The more I tell my kids not to do something, the more they're going to want to do it. So I would prefer that you don't do this, but I'm going to educate you on what's really happening out there. So this is what's happening out there. Kids your age are dying. So I'm going to educate you on this, and I'm going to make sure that you have these tools at your disposal. If you do some shit, if you have friends that are doing some shit, like you need to have this with you. So I educated my kids and I made sure that they had Narcan.
Mm. Mm.
That was important to me because if my kids do experiment, I don't want them to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not promoting experimenting drugs at all whatsoever. I do not want my kids doing drugs. My kids do not do drugs, but I wanted them educated and I wanted them to know what the fuck is out there. And I wanted them to have the tools to at least save their life or save their friend's life.
Yeah.
You know?
So funny how you just brought that up, like protection. And it's like back in the day, you know, your dad might have given you a condom. You know what I mean? Me a condom. And been like, here's some protection, kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the level that we're at now.
Yep.
Like that's.
It's like literally Narcan. Like
Narcan.
Here's Narcan.
And which is even crazier has how expensive this shit is. Narcan. I saw that's like $400 or something.
Oh, hell no. No, I took my kid to like a training. I took them to a training, and then we got the Narcan for free. I put in a donation,
right?
And then
CVS is selling it for like $450.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is fucking.
That
crazy.
Should be illegal.
Totally.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember. I was watching or I read something. It was like CVS, and that, I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are just making fucking hand over fist on it now. You know.
Of course.
But they're selling it for $450.
Insane.
That's crazy to me. So yeah, you strapped them up and gave them some education.
Yep.
Because that's great because they could experiment and fucking fentanyl would be all up in that shit and gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Do they have any friends that have OD'd or?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good.
No.
So that means they're hanging out with some good kids then. They're not hanging out like with.
Well,
us.
My kids are very limited on who they can hang out with.
Yeah.
Well, Leo is at least. He's very limited on who he can hang out with. Like,
right.
I have a very specific, like, I'm I'm not going to say I'm like helicopter mom, but like I know what the fuck is going on at all times. I know who my kids are with. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Got it. Makes sense.
I'm all about that. Knowing what the hell is going on.
You're going to have to teach me how to do that because otherwise they're just going to think I'm annoying.
Yeah. I mean, but
get out of my fucking face,
who
mom.
Cares?
I know.
It's true. I know. You're right. I know.
You set the standard like at an early age.
Yeah. That's true.
Set it at an early age so they know what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I've thought about that so many times of like the conversations, what we're going to have or what we're going to do. Or, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just like living an example. Hopefully that might be okay. But then even talking about our struggles, you know, and.
Yeah, wear it with pride.
You know, and I don't know. I guess it's one of those things where you'll know when a time comes, but fuck.
Yeah.
And kids are starting so much earlier, too. I mean, they've always started early. I mean, there's always been kids that start drugs because of somebody else that's older or whatever. But it seems like there's a lot more kids that are doing, like, 11 to 12, like, just fucking running amok.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being a fifth grader doing that. But I definitely know there was, even when I was in fifth grade, that there were fifth graders smoking weed, you know? Right. By the time I got in middle school, it was, you know, it was a wrap. So it does start really early.
So your first stint, so your first time in Chicago, that was your first rehab. How long did you stay clean after that?
Well, I stayed clean until I came back to San Francisco.
Got it.
Yeah, so I was good. And then when I came back to San Francisco, shit, like, just went crazy, went wild.
Okay, so then that's when you're on the corner with and you're hanging out with the gang and
And then just total street life. Just all bad.
How many years were you doing that for?
I did that for around 2 years in San Francisco and then I ended up moving back to El Cajon. And I ended up moving back to El Cajon and then I started using speed.
Just like that.
Just like that. Just like that.
Wasn't El Cajon like the meth capital of the country at some point?
There's so many places.
I'm sure.
That's what they say.
Yeah, they said that about Claremont, too, I think, at one point. That's what they
say. I mean, there was just a lot of cooks everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's one, Anza Borrego, that was like a for sure fact. Like, they found way more goddamn cook houses.
Which makes sense.
You know what I mean? You're way out in the desert.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Awanga and all that shit up there. But so who'd you move back? You just had... Because you didn't move back with family, right? Your mom already passed away. You weren't.
No,
seniors.
I had a friend.
Got it.
Yeah, I had a friend that I moved back here with, and we just started partying.
How old were you?
I was 17 at this point.
17 meth.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Yep.
Mm. Boom. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Fuck high school, huh?
Fuck it. Fuck it.
I mean, you know, essentially, I was doing the same thing. It just wasn't meth, but there was meth in the ecstasy, so you know. Yeah. We're all doing meth somehow, just wrapped into a little pill, you know?
Yeah, now it's fucking, people are like, let me get a Xanax. Nope, dead, fentanyl.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, it's fucking crazy.
It's so fucked up.
Here, it's want some ecstasy? Oops, that's fentanyl. Bye.
God, it's awful.
Because that's even scarier, if you think about it, because they're saying, they're saying, like, you know, a speck or, you know, a small amount of fentanyl could really fuck somebody up. But if you're taking a pill... It could be lights out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they cut that shit wrong. Lights the fuck out.
Yep.
I'd much rather do, if I'm going to do anything, let me get some ecstasy with some speed in it. No fentanyl, please.
Yeah.
Can I get the non-fentanyl one, please?
Yep.
Drug dealer.
Please. Yeah. I do not want that.
Yeah. So 17 years old, you start doing meth, and this has to be where things turn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because meth is a powerful drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meth don't fuck around. Mm. Meth does not fuck around.
Definitely not.
So, you know, so I have this thing for me, like, where I really want to be a part of a community.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a part of a group. And so for me, when I am, like, using and stuff, that is always a gang. Always. So I'm always attracted to some type of gang activity when I'm using. So I've spent all of my, like, childhood years, you know, like teenage years within gangs. And then, you know, when I came back down here, within gangs. So that's kind of where my street life is. And so when I'm using, I'm on the streets. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where my using takes me. I'm not like a house user. I'm not like one of the people that like just sit in the house and like use and like peep out windows. Right. That's not me.
You're active.
I'm active.
You're on the streets.
I'm on the streets hustling.
Yeah.
That's what
hustling,
I'm doing.
Hustling? Are you doing the car thing? What are you doing?
The car thing.
Yeah, the car, like where you're opening up handles, you know what I mean, checking handles. Or are you, were you doing some gangster shit?
Yeah, I'm not really a car thing.
Yeah.
It's for pussies like me. Sorry. Like, he's talking about me. It's
well, you know, just, no, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of tweakers. Look, a lot of tweakers do some, there's a bunch of different sort of tweakers too, you know?
Yeah, I just don't.
There's the carjacking tweakers. There's the break the window tweaker to get your CDs.
I don't have the patience for that. And no. I think it's, no, don't have the patience for that. No. And I just, I feel like it just attracts too much attention. I am very low profile. I don't want to attract attention to myself.
Sure.
I'm still the same way. I do not, you know, my husband is very loud and he, yeah, and I am like, can you please not draw attention to us, please?
Right.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I don't want to draw attention. So I was like that, you know, on the streets too. Oh. Do not draw attention to myself. So
that's really hard to do though. I mean, it depends
when
on
you're
who
using
you're...
or when you're hustling, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what were you doing? What was your hustle? Because mine was breaking into cars. Okay, I was a fucking lame. I was a fucking lame ass tweaker. All right, so what was yours? Okay.
Well, I had this boyfriend that was really good at like. Well, it's an old hustle.
Okay.
So it's probably before your time.
I'm sure it is.
So it was like a Western Union thing.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say it was a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
That was my hustle, motherfucker. Okay?
Yeah, you wouldn't right. get it.
Or maybe she would get it.
She's way fucking harder than that, dude. Yeah. Fucking. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had a friend
I was too scared for
I had that. A friend that, like, worked graveyard shift over at, there was this hotel over on Mollison. Hmm. And so, like, it kind of worked out with the hotel and Western Union. Mm. So
this is all allegedly, obviously.
Allegedly.
You know, so, yeah. This is allegedly.
Allegedly.
You know.
Yeah. Well, anyways, my ex-boyfriend, he ended up like, you know, doing time for it. So whatever.
Yeah. He got in trouble.
Same.
So, but whatever. I did.
So whatever.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. Did you have consequences ever?
I ended up having consequences, but I had consequences for, my consequences were only for like violent things. Mm. Those were my consequences because the more I continued to use, like I have anger issues. And so when my anger issues are left unchecked, I rage. It's like the weirdest thing. I'm super mellow. I'm super calm.
Don't want attention.
I don't want attention.
But you start to rage.
But when
you're going to have a lot of attention.
When my anger is unchecked, I rage. I rage.
Like yelling or is it like all the above?
It is.
Yelling, physical. I'm going to punch
everything.
You.
It is just everything.
Really?
Everything. Yeah.
So you like to put hands on people?
I do like to put hands on people. I do like to put hands on people and it's gotten me in trouble.
Right.
It's got me in trouble a few times.
Of course, it always does.
Yeah. So Give that's me. The only thing I've ever been in trouble for.
Right.
Yeah, I've never been in trouble for drugs, never been in trouble for anything else except for putting my hands on people.
Violence.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's due from doing drugs. And honestly, I mean, you're probably fighting people that were doing drugs too, right?
It's all been domestic violence.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're beating up dudes?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just fucked up, you know what I mean? Because,
it
A, is. I know your ex-husband.
It is fucked
then,
up.
Like, I know
not
your
him.
Husband.
No, like, no, none
I'm
of that.
I'm just, like, thinking, like, God damn, like, you fucking these dudes up. Well, no wonder why you put Jason. You just look at Jason, like, look at him a certain way. He's like, all right, cool. I'm going to keep it down.
I'm
going to
fuck it back off.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I don't want any fucking trouble here, all right?
No, my husband now, I respect him so much. I would never, ever think about ever, ever touching him. Ever.
Right.
Those thoughts. Just kidding. Sometimes he says stuff. I'm like, I just want to sock you in the face right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, God damn, calm down, girl.
Yeah, yeah. I can hear him saying that too. So the violent crime stuff with your exes, were you just straight fucking punching them?
Yeah. Well, okay. So.
I mean, but by the way, did any of them fight back? Was it like where you're just getting into a fucking duking match with them?
So, the first one, the first time that I got arrested for domestic violence, was when I got my kids taken away. Mm. So, you know, my using progresses.
Yeah.
But during this time of using and progression, you know, I have two kids, you know, and I don't stop using, you know. You know, I have these kids and I'm using and my life is unmanageable and it's crazy and I'm living in the center of El Cajon and I'm not seeing the unmanageability of my life. Mm. You know, I'm thinking that I still have my life under control. I have these rare moments of clarity and of sadness and of hopelessness. But those moments are very few and far between. You know, I still have this illusion that my life is under control. And I would have people tell me, you know, you need to get it together or else you're going to get your kids taken away. And I'm not doing anything wrong to get my kids taken away. So my first domestic attack, somebody called the police and the police came and the cops are there and I'm still fucking losing my shit. Mm. And I will not fucking calm down. And the cops are telling me, you need to calm down. And I just would not. I fucking would not calm down. And they end up fucking hog-tying me in front of my kids. Mm. And taking me to jail. And taking my kids.
Mm. Brutal. How old were your kids?
Young.
Yeah.
3 and 18 months.
Mm. I mean, it sounds fucked up, but at least they didn't remember.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I know that maybe there might be something to where it's like internally they, I don't know, you know, might know, but, you know, they're not at the age where they see it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make it right, by any means.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was.
Because you remember.
Oh, God.
So that's the part that is by far the worst.
No, you know? I remember. Mm. I remember. And the cop was telling me, calm down.
Yeah, giving you tons of chances, probably.
Telling me over and over, calm down. And I just fucking wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I could not physically do it. Could not physically do it.
So it's safe to say when you start using, I mean, you have anger issues then too.
I mean, I have anger issues clean.
Right.
I mean,
same.
I do. I have anger issues clean, but... Right. I've been able to, like, figure out how to keep him in check, you know? Mm-hmm. I've been able to figure out how to, like, manage it and keep it in check. And the reason why I keep it in check is because I don't want to cause other people harm. Mm-hmm. And that's been my motivator. I don't want to harm the people that I love, the people around me, because those are the people that suffer, right? Those are the people that... Those are the people that, you know, I take my anger out on the most are the people that I love. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to learn how to get that shit in check and calm the fuck down. Yeah. You know,
there ain't nothing worse than being in recovery and making amends, you know, clean. Yeah. There ain't nothing fucking worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, shitty. You know, unfortunately, I just had to do that myself. So I know how it feels, and it just doesn't feel good to have 8 and a half years clean, and you're like, you know what? I really fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, bad too. Not, you know, just some bullshit, you know? So what happened? How'd you get your kids back? I mean, did you have to fucking go to counseling or Anger management?
No. I didn't. I lost my parental rights.
Oh, wow.
Oh, fuck. Just like that. One and done, huh? That's fucking crazy.
Well, it wasn't one and done. You know, my son was, he was 18 months, mm-hmm. you know, and so with, when it comes to like the court system, like, and you get your kids taken away and your kids are under three, they give you a certain amount of time to reunify with your kids. They give you an 18-month reunification plan. Mm-hmm. So they say you got to do this, 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 and this. And if you don't do those things within 18 months, then they terminate your parental rights. They say, okay, well, you know, your kids are adoptable. We can adopt out your kids. And
oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
No shit. I had no idea. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even know that you had an older son.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. So the beautiful part about this, though, is that remember that aunt and uncle that I told you about in Chicago?
Yeah.
They adopted my kids.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up going to treatment, you know, through this whole process, you know. My kids, when I knew that I was going to lose my parental rights, my kids went to live with family members in El Centro. And what had happened was I got caught up in this thing. You know, I got caught up in this thing. You know, I told you that, you know, I kind of hang out with gang members when I'm out on the street. So,
sure.
You know, I was, I'd been up for a few days, you know, and.
What's going on, guys? Dustin with the LFG 1904 show. Proud to announce our partnership with Law Tigers. If you have been in a motorcycle accident, let's get you the compensation you deserve today and get you back on the road. Go ahead and call this number, 858-306-1986. Once again, that number is 858-306-1986. Law Tigers, nationwide. Doesn't matter where you're at. Call that number. LFG.
I smoked a bunch of weed, and I was dating this guy named Convict. And that's shocking, right?
No, not even a little bit.
So this guy named Convict, he had just gotten out from doing 12 years in California Youth Authority. He was 19, but he was AWOL from California Youth Authority. So we were driving his mom to the methadone clinic because, you know, she had to go dose. Mm. And I was driving a friend's minivan. And this minivan had, like, his last name blasted across the front of it, you know?
Oh, God.
You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're driving, and I'd been up for a few days and smoked a bunch of weed, and we get off the Magnolia exit going to the clinic. And I look in my rearview mirror, and I notice that there's, like, a black and white behind me. And I'm like, oh, there's a black and white behind me. So Convict says, oh, okay, we'll turn right here because he's AWOL. So, you know, AWOL, when you, California Youth Authority is, like, basically, like, parole violation. You don't report to parole. So he's like, oh, okay, we'll turn right here. So I turn right on Wisconsin. And then the whole fucking street is blocked off, and I'm surrounded by fucking unmarked cars. Jesus. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And so, you know, the megaphone is like, turn off your vehicle. So I turn off the vehicle, you know, and it's like summertime. Mm. So my windows are up and the AC's blasting. And then the cop says, like, put your hands out the window. But then it got really confusing because it had, like, electric windows and I had just turned the car off. And then the windows are up, and I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening?
That's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah, I know. You're like, don't fucking shoot me. Like,
don't fucking shoot me. I got to turn the car back on, okay?
I'm like, what the fuck is going on, you know? Because, yeah. Like, I'm way the fuck out of it. Definitely should not have been driving, right? So anyways, you know, we end up getting fucking arrested, right? Mm-hmm. And like, convict's mom's like, listen, I need to get to the clinic. I need to go dose at the clinic. Can somebody fucking take me to the clinic, you know? I'm like in interrogation for like 9 hours. I fucking have no idea why I'm fucking there. They're asking me if I know all these people. I'm like, yeah, I don't know them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I'm driving this van. This is like my daughter's uncle's van. That's the only reason why I'm driving it. And blah, 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 blah. So apparently this vehicle that I was driving was like used in a homicide.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
Fuck yeah.
So I was arrested for accessory, and like, I didn't even know that the vehicle was used in this homicide. So the reason why I'm telling you all this is because my kids were living in El Centro with the family of the people that own the minivan.
Oh, no.
So the detectives went to the family. And they went to social services, and so my kids got pulled out of that house, that household, and they were no longer allowed to be there.
Right. Yeah.
So they had to go to Illinois to live with my aunt and uncle.
Mm. Wow. So the van, it was, they took the van because it was in a homicide, or they thought it was in a homicide?
The van was used in a homicide. Got it. It was, for sure. Okay.
Insane.
All right. And you're just fucking driving
like it off. Like,
and convict, he's gone. Did the mom get the dose?
She did get dosed.
I mean, that's so Jesus weird. I
didn't even know methadone was a thing back then.
Oh, of course. That's number one thing.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. There was methadone before there was anything else.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So my grandmother, my dad's mom, so she was actually like one of the first people ever to be on the clinic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
wow.
And that shit is brutal.
Mm-hmm. It ain't no joke.
Honestly, I'd rather just shoot heroin. I mean, the people that just manage off fucking methadone, it's even worse. I've only had one kick from that, and it was no bueno.
Well, you're supposed to wean off it, right?
Yeah, that doesn't ever happen. We're addicts. So the van gets taken away. Your kids get taken away. That whole situation is probably, you know, on investigation, I would imagine, right? So it's probably all bad.
All bad.
So, yeah, your aunt and uncle are just really fucking nice people.
Yeah.
They took you in, now your kids in.
Yep.
Did they live there for a long time? Or?
My kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, they adopted my kids.
Oh, they adopted them.
They adopted them and raised them. And
were you able to see them still?
No.
Really?
No.
Even when you got clean?
Nope.
Wow.
No.
No communication, nothing?
No.
Wow. See, I need to talk to you off air because I don't think you're going to talk about it on air, but like that's crazy to me. That's mind-blowing.
Here's the thing. I was okay with it.
Yeah.
I was okay with it because what I needed was I needed my kids to be safe and protected.
Yeah.
And I knew that my aunt and uncle were going to keep them safe and protect them, even if it was from me.
Right.
I knew that they were going to be happy and healthy. And I knew that they were going to have a good life. And I was okay with that. I was okay with it. Because for our children, that's all we want. Mm. We just want them to be happy and healthy and thrive. That's it. Mm. It's not about me. It's not about what I need or what I want, you know, because like I had my chance to do right by them and I fucked it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I fucking dragged them through it.
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to do right by them and that was my opportunity and I did it. And I knew that the sacrifice would be that my aunt and uncle would not let me talk to them. I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
And I was okay with it.
Wow. That takes so much courage.
Yeah.
It was the best decision I made for them.
Right. And they turned out pretty good?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you have contact with your son?
No.
No.
No, he's good. I mean, I know about him. I know what's up with his life, and he's good, and he's happy, and he's thriving, and he has a full life, and
right.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
Is your aunt and uncle still alive?
Yeah.
Have you talked to them?
I have.
I was going to say, maybe that's an indicator why maybe he hasn't approached you, maybe. Because they're still alive and they're that to him, like it's mom and dad or something.
I mean, I do feel like that in a way, or maybe it's just not something that he needs.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm okay with that too.
So much fucking courage. That's so heavy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, even before that, but you thought about that in your addiction too? Like that's how your mindset was, or was there a time like, fuck that, those are my kids, I'm going to forget.
Course, when I'm using, I'm like, fuck them, fuck that. Yeah, that's my shit.
Right.
You know? That's my shit.
Yeah, right.
You know, like you can't, like, total victim, like, oh, they're doing this to me. Like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
You fucking gave your kids away. You fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're doing this to me. How could they do this? That's family. You know, that's my mom's sister.
Right.
You know, like all that weird shit, all the fucked up perceptions that we have when we're using, like of just being totally victimized by these people. When I victimized those little kids, you know, those little babies I was supposed to protect.
Right. So, I mean, going back to convict. So, I mean, it seems like Marie, you have a type. Yeah,
I have
a type. Some gangster ass motherfucker.
Yeah. They got to match my energy, you know
what
I mean?
That's right. and they better be tough, too.
For real.
Otherwise, they're going to be fucked up.
Yep.
You're going to get fucked up.
No, I'm a gentle soul, really. I really am a gentle soul. I'm a peaceful person. I'm kind. I'm a lover, not a fighter, really. Mm-hmm. I really am.
That's what all fighters say. You know that?
I am a lover. I am a
every
lover.
Fighter says that. I don't like to fight, but I'll fuck your ass up. Like, no, I don't want to fight you, but I will fucking kill you.
Listen, I have had my ass beat plenty of fucking times. I do not care about getting my fucking ass beat at all.
Another
not
tough
once.
Guy persona right there. Yeah, I'll get my ass kicked. I give a fuck? But I'm going to beat the two up. Like,
I just don't have that healthy fear of people.
Right. Yeah, your look alone will just be like, I ain't scared of you, fool. Now I'm fucking, don't get it fucked up.
Marie's scary.
Yeah.
Her fucking look, she's fucking scary.
She definitely has a fucking look.
You have
look.
A kind, gentle soul when people know you. If people don't know you, you can look at them and they'll
it's
fucking
her eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah, her eyes.
Yeah.
She looks at you and you're like, oof. Kind of like, look, start
that
running
girl
away.
Girl will beat my ass.
Yeah, start looking away. Just like looking at your forehead. That's it. You're just not disrespecting her, you know?
I'm
you're
all
like,
looking
not,
over.
Yeah, like no eye contact, you know? But
makes
you're just
you have respect
right
for somebody like that, though. I mean,
absolutely.
That's in my case with you, you know? That's why I asked you to be my sponsor.
Oh,
real shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, she respects herself. She has confidence in herself. She's sure of herself. Like, you know? That's what I wanted, so, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, back to you.
How long did that happen, though? I mean, besides, that little stint that you had with the, you know, fucked up van, you know, did you keep, I guess what my question is when did you stop using?
Well, shortly after that, I went to treatment. I went to treatment shortly after that, so that was like around 2000.
Okay.
I went to treatment in 2000. For the first time. And I went to a treatment program in North County. It was like a self-pay program. My dad paid for me to go to treatment. I had been to all the little treatment programs around here, down here in San Diego.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I managed to find a reason why they didn't work for me.
Right.
So... I had a friend that had gone through this treatment program in North County, and I didn't know anybody in North County. You know, like, you know, if you're from El Cajon, you don't go to North County. That's like so way far. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I might as well be another country, you know?
No, you're right. You're right. No. I grew up in North County and I never.
Yeah, you don't.
I had to go to the DMV. North County should be its own county. Why the fuck am I going to Claremont?
I mean, literally.
Yeah, it really
like,
should.
It's San Diego County still, but it's like, man,
It's a whole different world. Yeah. Different really vibes is. Up there.
So yeah. I went up to this treatment program up there and yeah, that's where I got clean.
And that was how many years do you have clean?
I have 13.
Okay.
So that was, you know.
Okay, so 2000. Got it. All right, okay. So you stayed clean for a little while.
I stayed clean for a minute. Yeah. All right. So, you know, this thing with my kids, you know, losing my kids, I hated myself. And I couldn't forgive myself.
Right. I mean, yeah. Who the fuck could?
I couldn't forgive myself. You know, because I would just replay. I would replay all of the, like, little visits that I had while they were, like, in, like, CPS custody or whatever, you know? And, like, I would replay all the little promises that I made to them. And, you know, I would just shame myself I was just so ashamed. And I would just think about all of those moments over and over and over again. And I was just disgusted with myself. And I'm not going to say that, like, I used that as a mechanism to keep myself loaded, but I just couldn't live with those feelings. I couldn't sit with them. I wasn't capable of sitting with them. And I just didn't want to. I didn't want to sit with those feelings. So I couldn't stay clean. You know, so my first 10 years of recovery, like, I was a chronic relapser. You know, I would get some clean time and then I'd go back out. Get some clean time, go back out.
Would you go back out to meth or would it be alcohol or weed?
Alcohol, weed.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, I never went back to meth. Never.
And were you doing recovery down here or?
I stayed in North County for a while.
Yeah.
I stayed up there for quite a while.
And you were doing the NA?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're doing the NA? What the fuck were you talking about?
Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous?
Were you doing the NA or the AA?
The ANA or
were you
the
doing
AA?
The AAA or the NA?
Well, you know, a lot of us fucking think we're just alkies, you know, when we first get here. We're just like, we're not addicts, you know? Yeah. I go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. That's all I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love the literature in that fellowship.
Do you?
I do. Mm. I think the literature is amazing.
I've never read it.
It's incredible. Anything, yeah. I've just never felt really comfortable.
Yeah. I feel you.
Because I always feel like I have to, like, mind my words, you mm-hmm. know? I have to be careful about the words that I use. So I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody that I'm always watching my words anyway. So it's like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, it took me a long time to finally, like, make a decision to be clean.
Right.
And, you know, when I went to rehab, in 2000, you know, that's when I met my second husband.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had two kids together.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Did you guys meet in the program?
Mm-hmm. We met
like
in rehab.
In rehab. Okay.
Yeah, we met in rehab, but, we did not, like, hook up for a long time. Okay. Like, we were just friends.
Right.
And we were together for like 10 years. And we had, you know, two kids together. And so having like those two kids, I started to heal from the, you know, the other kids.
Right. Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So my recovery journey has been a long one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you, when you got out of rehab and then you kept on going back and forth, you know, mm-hmm. constant relapser, Was it when you went to that second program? Did you go? You went to another program then?
No.
So the same program.
Same program.
All right, yep. And then that's where you met your ex husband.
Yep. That's where I met him.
And real quick, so you were married to husband two.
Yeah.
Got it. What happened? Yep. What happened to husband one?
Oh.
Let's call him Billy Bob. What happened to Billy Bob?
Oh, Billy Bob. He was in prison.
Got it. I should have known. I should have known because I'm an idiot.
Fuck! Damn.
She has a type, Elise.
Yeah, and she
likes
kids...
gangster ass fucking dudes.
Yeah,
100.
No, you're the only gangster dude I've ever been with, probably.
So how long you guys were together? For 10 years. You had two beautiful kids, and yes. Then you stayed clean from that point on, or no?
No, I did not stay clean from that point on. You know, we had like these, we had these kids. Tried to do our best to raise these kids together and make this relationship work. And, you know, I would come in and, you know, get a few years clean. And then I would be like, you know, I probably can drink. I probably can. I think I can do that. Yeah. And then I would be like, yeah, no, drinking makes me feel like shit.
Right.
You know, because I have these kids that, like, I have been blessed with a second chance.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm shitting on them by drinking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how I felt. At a fundamental level, like, my life was not... I did not destroy my life again by using, drinking, any of that stuff. My core... My core being was broken, you know? Because I had these two kids, again. Like, I had these beautiful children. And I felt like I was, like, shitting on them. Mm-hmm. Because... I was using, and I had lost my other children to using, you know? So it was like, I knew that I had to stop at some point. I knew I had to stop using if I wanted to have a successful life. And it wasn't because like my life was going downhill or I was losing all this shit, but it was just because my spirit was broken.
Mm. Right.
You know?
What made you decide to start drinking again though? Like, what was the thought process besides like, what you did say, like, oh, I can just drink again, but was there something else going on?
Well, I was going through a divorce. Mm. I was going through a divorce with my kid, you know.
The second husband.
And I didn't want to deal with that.
Right.
I wasn't equipped to deal with those kind of emotions, you know. And so I was like, yeah, I'm just going to drink through this. And then actually, like, when our divorce was, like, final, that's when I got clean.
Wow.
Our divorce was final, and I was like, okay, I'm good.
I'm free.
I'm free. Yeah. And then I got clean, and I never picked up again.
Yeah, and never had those thoughts of using again.
Mm-mm.
Well, you've done enough research, let's be honest.
Totally.
You know, you've done enough research to know now that you're an alcoholic, you're an addict, you're whatever, you know, rage, violence, like all of the above. Yep. All of the above. So, I mean, you've done plenty of research where you're like, nah, I'm good. I figured that fucking out now.
Yeah, for sure.
I really don't need to do anything. I mean, when you were getting drunk with your kids, though, I mean, was there rage moments too, or was it just like, I'm drinking some wine at home?
I didn't drink around my kids.
Okay.
So, like, they would go to my ex's mom's for the weekend, and then, like, I would get drunk. Mm. You know, that's kind of like, I didn't want that to, like, shift into that life with my kids. You know, I just didn't want them to be around substances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like weird, but.
Right.
I mean, alcohol is legal, you know, so I'm not like shaming anybody for drinking alcohol, but I just didn't want that to like fold over into.
Yeah. And if I can remember correctly, your second husband doesn't drink either.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
No.
So that was really never around then.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's great. If you're going to relapse, don't do it around them.
Yeah, no, I didn't want that to like fold over into their life at all.
All right.
Yeah.
So what is life like now for you?
I have an amazing life. Mm. I have a beautiful life. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do in recovery? I mean, I know that you sponsor a lot of women, right?
Yeah.
How long have you been sponsoring women?
Oh, I think 7 years. Oh. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, right? I mean, when you look back at it, when you have like successful sponsees and they're like they're doing it, they're doing the deal, and then now doing a return favor, like sponsoring other women, and
it is like sponsorship is the most beautiful thing, and I'll tell you why. So I can be in a room and like I'll look over at one of my sponsees, and then she will have somebody that she is sponsoring, and then they'll have somebody that they're sponsoring, and then it's all these people that like, I think that like the biggest thing about recovery is that like we go into recovery and like we go in there to like save ourselves, you know, but we're not there to save ourselves. We're there to save other people.
Right.
You know, and as members of whatever 12-step fellowship we are in, it's a huge responsibility, you know, and we have to be responsible members and like just remember that we are there to save lives.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful thing.
So what would you do if somebody comes to you, another female, and says, look, I'm a chronic relapser, like, I don't know what to do. Like, what would you say?
Don't pick up.
Don't pick up.
Don't pick up.
No matter what.
No matter what.
It's a tough thing, though, huh? Because there's some people, it's like, nowadays, what I would say is, like, just stay, you know, because it's so hard. Because you say, like, you know, back in the day, you say, go out there and fucking get high. You know what I mean? You're not done yet. Go get done and then come back. Or, you know, I was in AA, so it always be like, go get drunk. You know what I mean? Go get fucking drunk and come back. You're not done yet. You're just, you know, revolving door. Now people die.
I can't say that now, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just a hard thing to say, you know? So it's like, you know, we have to be careful. I have to be careful, like, what I say, especially to a newcomer.
Well, what I say
to a chronic relapse.
What I say to my sponsees is, like, if you feel like picking up, call me, and if it's a good enough reason, I'll go with you.
Wow. Nice. That's a good one.
If it's a good enough reason, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Call me if you want to get loaded.
I know. It's so funny. I had my buddy that came. We used to get high together, whatever, you know, back in the day. And he goes, man, he's like, well, if you have a Coors Light in this fridge right now, I'm going to drink it, you know, knowing that, you know, I definitely don't. But it's a funny statement to say, you know, you're being around people that you get high with. And now you're clean and doing the fucking deal. What a different lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. So when I had about 7 years clean, and it was, I just remember Elise was sharing about her when she got her token the other night, and she was, and there was something that she said that was just so powerful to me when she said, I didn't want to live, but I had no fucking choice. And I just remember feeling like that. Mm. Being clean and feeling like that, like, I have no fucking choice. And that is the most fucking hopeless feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is so hopeless. Like, don't want to live, but I have no fucking choice. I have no choice. I have to fucking do this, you know? So, like, we have to make these decisions to, like, do something different with our fucking lives, you know? And we find freedom in working these steps, right? Of the freedom of recovery. And so once we get that freedom, it's our responsibility to help others find that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means to be a member of these 12-step programs.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Our primary purpose is to help the next addict, you know. I mean, my sponsor was, like, really big on that. Like, look, we're doing a step a month. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And your primary purpose is to get clean, stay clean, so you can help the next guy.
Yeah. You know, so in 2017, my best friend died from fentanyl. And I remember, like, There was this article written about her in a newspaper. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about which newspaper it was or who wrote it, but they were so dismissive about her and like her importance and who she was, you know, and I was reading it and I was just thinking about how shitty that was, how dismissive they were about her and just writing about her as if she was just like a nobody, you know, and, she was a somebody. She was somebody to me. She was somebody to her kids. She was, you know, she was somebody to a lot of people. And then I realized in that moment that like nobody out there, like those people, they're not going to care about us like we care about us, you know, and we have to look out for each other, you know, and we have to be what we need, you know? And, I made a decision that like, I'm going to always be a responsible member of Narcotics Anonymous. Always, always. And I will always carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And I believe in the program 100%. And, I'm just very grateful for it.
That was great. What is like the I guess a message would be, you know, for people to hear, what are some of the gifts that you've been given because of recovery? I mean, even, you know, we've already heard about a lot of trauma, you know, and a lot of things that you did, but, you know, just give me an example of like some great things that have happened to you.
Okay, can I talk about material things?
Of course. Fucking everything. I mean, material, okay. Of course.
Okay.
Talk about Elise all the time.
Not funny.
Okay. Since being in recovery, so I remember, like, when I first, like, got clean, all I wanted was to, like, have a car.
Yeah, hold on real quick, Marie. That's a good point, though. Like, we have to hear the material things.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't come into this motherfucker on a winner streak. You know what I mean?
Dude.
If we have a bicycle when we're coming to NA meetings, like, we're up. Because I got rides everywhere. Because I couldn't get a car, you know? I couldn't get a license.
Yeah.
So the things that we get in recovery is all due to recovery. And, like, the things and the work that we do to put into it. So I think it's funny, like, when people say that, like, well, it's just material. No, motherfucker. Like, I earned that shit.
No, I know. Well, see, I've been shamed before for talking about material things.
Fuck
and like
that.
And here's the thing, like, I do my best. I don't ever want to like flex on people for my material shit. You know what I mean? But like, I'm proud of my material things. And like, the reason why I'm proud of it is because I fucking work my ass off. I've worked my ass off consistently and I've been through some shit and I work my ass off consistently for my material things.
Yeah.
So I'm a homeowner. I have owned two homes that I purchased on my own by myself with my fucking own money. Did not borrow anything from anybody. I worked hard for that shit. And I drive a BMW X5 M. Mm-hmm. let's see. I have a career. And I make really good money. You know, I'm raising beautiful children who... you know, my second one is about to graduate high school, which is huge, you know, cause my other one graduated high school, you know, I didn't graduate high school,
right?
You know, I'm in a very successful, beautiful, amazing relationship with my husband. And, I'm really grateful for that relationship.
Nice. How long? I was going to say, I mean, I know that he talked about your guys' relationship on the podcast, which was really sweet, too.
I know. I'm about to tear up talking about him for some reason.
I know.
Yeah. He's been special. Yeah, he's been.
Was at least paying attention or?
I'm paying attention. I'm sorry. I have an infant attention child.
To how Marie loves her husband so much. Were you listening or no?
Hey, you
Marie,
know go ahead.
Marie, say that over again. At least pay attention real fast.
I fucking hate you, dude. You know how many times I've told Dustin, like, the reason that I've asked you to be my sponsor was to teach me how to love Dustin correctly.
Wow. Like somebody has a lot of work to do. Somebody has a lot of fucking work to do.
I fucking hate you, dude.
I don't feel that.
Oh my God, he's lying.
No, I did see you get a little bit emotional, but you know what? He did though too.
Yeah.
You guys have a really strong bond.
Yeah.
The thing that he said, like when you guys first, I mean, I remember that podcast, like verbatim, like certain things that he said, and one of them was like when he first met you and. He had to climb up a fucking window or some shit because he was locked out of the fucking sober living, or I don't know what it was. But, you know, he was just saying, like, you guys had a special bond. And yeah. He said that often on the podcast.
Yeah. So there were, like, so many fucking red flags on our first date. Like, things that I would be like, okay, bye. You know? Wow. Like, he asked me to drive on our first date. And, like, normally that would be, like, a deal breaker. Like, no, dude, I am not fucking driving. You know, like so many things. And then like he locked himself out of his own house. So he had to like now knowing him, like he's a total airhead. So like I get that, you know,
yeah.
But he had to climb up on the roof and like break into the window. And then the neighbor was like, I'm going to call the police. So it was like so crazy.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, Bree's like, I found him.
I'm like,
I fucking found him.
Yeah. And then he was like, no, man, I'm just trying to get into my house. That's my girl right there. Blah, blah, blah. I'm all, really? I'm your girl? No.
Oh, my God.
So anyways, yeah, there were so many red flags, but it was such like a special date. You know, it was just so sweet and so romantic, and he was just so cute and so endearing, and he talked the entire time. That was another red flag. He talked the entire time. Like, I did not say one word practically the whole time. Not surprising, but you know what I mean? But he, you know that he's like cleaned up Carter's throw up. Carter has thrown up in the middle of the night and he's cleaned it up. Nobody's ever done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there are just things that like he does that nobody's ever done for me.
Right.
And like, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's huge for me that I didn't have to get up and do it. And like, nobody's ever like considered me like that. Like he considers me. And I matter to him. And right. I know that I matter to him. And like, he's the first person that's ever made me feel like I matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's going to build even better relationship down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have something like in the beginning, but it's funny, like you have all these red flags, but like something just, I mean, there's red flags, but something must have clicked though with you to where you're like, I mean, normally, I don't know. You know, normally we'd be like, you have these red flags and you're like, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. But with him, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it.
Right.
Like, there were so many things. Like, he friended me on Facebook and I never accept friend requests from people I don't know, ever. And I accepted his. I never do.
Right.
And I accepted his. It's just like there was just so many things that so many nevers with him. Then I don't know. And he adopted my son, you know, like he adopted.
Oh, that's his son. And he's very proud to say it.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
But like that happened in.
Yeah.
That happened to like our family in recovery. Yeah. You know, it's like that is a direct result of recovery. Like. People like us adopting other people's kids, you know, like he adopted my son and like, that's incredible. Like he does things for our family that I could never do. I could never take Carter to the dirt bike track. You know what I mean? Like I could never do that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, he just comes through. He comes through for me.
That's funny. You were going to say that. Cause that's exactly what I was going to say from the outside looking in, you know, like, he's constantly doing things with Carter and he's always available, but he's doing stuff that's like benefiting that kid so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, like teaching him like accountability and.
Yep. He's showing him how to be like
skills,
a man.
Like real skills, you know.
He's showing him how to be a man.
And Jason is a real man too. He's one of those manly man guys, you know what I mean? But funny at the same time, man. He's a fucking character.
Yeah, he is really funny.
Fucking Jason.
Yeah.
I can love the dude, man.
He's really good to our family.
He's really good to everybody though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I've never really seen him, you know, get angry unless you're not being nice to him or somebody around him.
Hmm. Oh yeah. He's definitely not anybody that I would ever want to be on his bad side.
Right.
Ever.
For sure.
Because that's like terrifying. I mean, I've made him mad like maybe 3 times. And like I shut up. Yeah. I've seen
your rage goes away.
Yeah. I'm like docile. I'm like
okay, well, I'm just gonna walk away now.
I'm like, are you okay?
Are you good?
Are you okay, sweetie?
You're getting a little scary there.
What's wrong?
Smart move.
Yeah, right.
Smart.
Well, you guys sound kind of similar because you are really kind, and you know, but you have your ragey moments, you know. So
yeah.
You probably get each other like that, you know.
Yeah, he's very patient with me.
Yeah,
he's very patient with me.
I think it's good. I think it's really important to talk about the things that we've, you know, gotten in recovery. I don't know. I know that people do say that, like, oh, well, that's just material, but you know.
Yeah, but it's a big deal.
It really is. I mean, and the thing about when we talk about it, it's like it's attainable. You can do that and get clean, and all these great things will happen to you too.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they happen really fast for some people, and sometimes they take long. But you know what? Just enjoy the ride. Sit on your fucking hand. Shut up. You know, a lot of times that's what somebody needed to tell me. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Just shut up.
I'm glad they told you that.
Yeah.
here's the thing about addicts. Like, we are determined ass fucking people. Mm. Like, anything that we put our minds to, we could fucking do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we figured out how to get loaded every single fucking day, no matter what. Like, that takes determination.
For real.
That is some determined ass shit. We can get whatever we want clean. And especially like being clean, like putting that power to good use. We are determined as hell. We can do whatever we want.
Right.
Whatever we want.
I know.
It's true.
It's like a fucking superpower, dude. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yep.
Some of the most intelligent people I've ever met. And I'm not talking like books, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. just intelligent.
Yep.
Are addicts.
Yeah.
The ingenuity like that some people do too. You know what I mean? It blows my fucking mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, like I grew up on the streets. And so for my job, like I use my street smarts and my job for like getting to know people and like seeing people and reading people, you know, and it's really helpful, you know? So like I take my skills that I used on the streets for my job now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody told me in early recovery, and I'll never forget it, like that I was too old to have a hustle. And I'm like, fucking
That's so fucked up.
That's bullshit.
That's such bullshit.
Like, I was like, what?
That's bullshit.
You know, you're too...
I want to know who the fuck told you that
you're
shit.
You're too old to do this something, you know? And that's always stuck with me.
Never.
And I'm like, really?
Hell no.
You know, and I'm like, and that's... I mean, first of all, for somebody to say it, because they're just judging you. You know, there's something. But the fact of the matter, it's like, dude, I can do fucking whatever I want being clean. I had such a fucking weight on my back, legs, everywhere. It was holding me down from the things that I should have been doing a long time ago. Mm. Perhaps I wasn't ready, though, too. I mean, I always look at it like that. Like, I probably wasn't ready, you know? I know, because I lost my kid, too, Marie. I lost my kid at a really early, you know, and I was kids having kids, you know? And I think that the time in my life is like, this is what, you know, God said, you're ready.
Yep.
And I'm not even ready, you know, a lot of times. I'm still trying to figure shit out, too. But, you know, I don't think for a second that, you know, I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And we don't know what that reason is until later on in life, or maybe sometimes won't ever figure it out, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think you're where you're at in your life right now, and that this is the time that you should be doing it, because you did a lot of maturing between the time that we got together and now, you know? And I can't even imagine you fucking doing what you're doing now when I had met you. You had way more shit going on and it needed to do before you got to this point, you know? Because you got to be fucking disciplined to do what you're doing. You're fucking working for yourself. Fucking three businesses and shit, you know? You got to be really fucking disciplined. It's really hard.
Yeah, what I've learned mostly is that the reason why we don't do shit is because there is that little voice in the back of our heads that is telling us that we cannot do shit.
Straight up.
That's what holds us back. Yep. But once we get rid of that and we just say, fuck it, I'm doing it anyway, we get shit done.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
We get shit done.
Even clean, I mean, I've always teeter-tottered, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'd be all in on certain things, you know what I mean? I'm all in on her and I'm all in on this or whatever, but there's a few things still that I was like teeter-tottering on for a long time, and I think that recovery has taught me to like put both feet in and see what happens. Yep. Like trust.
Yep.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like really, really use that validation and trust yourself. You know, and knowing that no matter what happens, you're very capable of doing something else. That's the thing, you can reinvent yourself too. I mean, the power of recovery is so fucking special, and that's why I love doing this podcast and talking about recovery, because I hope that somebody gets a message no matter what.
Yep.
And I know that there's a lot of new addicts that listen to the show. So anytime that anybody has any questions for me, please reach out. Elise is always available too. But I mean, thank you so much, Marie, for coming on. We've already knocked out an hour and a half. You killed it.
Thank you so much.
Your story is fucking pretty powerful. I mean, I didn't really know too much about it. And man, you definitely been through it and came out on top.
Thank you for having
me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
To have all the things that you do by yourself is pretty, and I say this all the time, and Elise is probably going to mimic me, but women that come on the podcast, like they have such an impactful story, like the things that, you know, some women have gone through and persevered through and like made it through is fucking unbelievable to me, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We just go through so much different shit than men do, you know, when we're fucking using. We go through so much fucking different kind of trauma, you know, that we have to heal from. And it's unmatched. And it's important for me. I tell Dustin it's important for me for him to have women on this podcast because women listen to it, you know. And the feedback that I get every single time, like you're going to get a lot of feedback from people that know you that listen to this podcast. And they're going to tell you thank you and fucking, you know, that resonated with me and shit, you know. And it feels good, and it's important. And you're right. Our job, you know, as recovering addicts is to help the addict that's still suffering, you know? So, I mean, you've done wonders for me in the last year, that's for sure. You've saved me from myself over and over and over again in the last year, you know? Yeah.
From the outside, once again, from the outside looking in, and, like, I don't get into her shit, you know, unless she talks about it. But, I mean, obviously, I've seen the change, too. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
Love you guys.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day
That's
for me.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances.
This is actually the one I know all the words to.
It's been another show, though. It's been another show, guys. It's been another show. Thanks for tuning in. LRG 1904, motherfuckers. Won't you send it on my taste buds? I get way too many. Won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block and break it down. We playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM phone. Piss out your per diem. You just gotta hate them phone. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes phone. If I quit this season, I still beat the greatest phone. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke, pull up.